2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and, of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
It's the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome in. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach the show today, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. Email is udocs@gmail.com. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe.
We have
I'm
a lot
here
of...
in Las Vegas at the Keep Memory Alive benefit for the Cleveland Clinic, which is all about stopping neurodegenerative disease. And Barbara Streisand and Stevie Wonder, this tribute to Quincy Jones and Sir Michael Caine on their 80th birthdays.
Well, are they doing a show?
They are.
Barbara Streisand is singing?
There are 18 star entertainers. It's going to be tough for them all to get it in 3 hours.
Well, have a good time. We need to do a show here today, and there are a lot of interesting health headlines today. Among them, there's a compound in red meat and energy drinks that could be linked to heart disease. This is some research from your Cleveland Clinic. Today you'll talk about why the age 30, is really the age 45. How about somebody's birthday? Is there a connection between somebody's birthday and immune disorders? Dr. Mike will have the secret path to better sex. I know you want to hear that. Sleep less, weigh more. And also we'll have the Real Edge Tip of the Week coming up by the end of the hour. Our guest at 34 past the hour will be John Wendell. John Wendell is the husband of Susan Spencer Wendell. Her book is called Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy. And she, a journalist for over 20 years, she left her job as a courts reporter when she was diagnosed just 2 years ago with ALS. And now she lives in Florida with her husband, John, and her 3 kids. So she'll join us at 34 past the hour. It's going to be a very emotional, very interesting conversation you'll have with her, Dr. Mike.
You know, she wrote this book by Susan Spencer Wendell, W-E-N-D-E-L, Until I Say Goodbye. I read it on the airplane coming out here from Cleveland to Las Vegas, and by the end of the flight, I was crying. And there's one great phrase that she has at the end of the book, which is something she saw in a waiting room. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. It's attributed to Dr. Seuss, but it is really the message of the book, and we'll get to that.
Now, she is she can't walk, she can't sit up, or she cannot speak because of ALS, so her husband, John, will do the interview with you at 34 past the hour. I think we probably all at least started to know a little bit about ALS when we saw the movie, right? The Lou Gehrig movie, Pride of the Yankees, with Gary Cooper, right? In the 1940s, that kind of introduced us initially to that disease, didn't it?
Exactly, and it is so it's appropriate that I'm out here at the Keep Memory Alive benefit, because ALS is one of the neurodegenerative diseases, and we actually have a story about another one and why the birth month, that is, why is it more prominent in people who are born in May than who are born in December? And it's not just a little bit, it's almost threefold difference in the risk of your having the disease based on the month you're born in. And it may say something about what starts these diseases.
Well, talk about that then, since you brought it up. It's one of our medical stories of the week. What does your birthday have to do with immune disorders?
Well, the key correlation was two things. One is your vitamin D3 level being, if you will, the pregnancy going on during the winter months. Your mom got less vitamin D3 during that period of time. And in fact, they looked at the cord blood on the children who then subsequently developed MS, and they had a 20% lower level of vitamin D3 if they were born in in May than if they were born in December. And the second component of that is they have these things called autoimmunocytes, which are immune cells that attack yourself. And they had two times the amount of autoimmunocytes. They thought they were related. You need vitamin D3 to shut off the autoimmunocytes. And so these people had many more autoimmunocytes if they were born in May and had the pregnancy during the winter months. So the message to pregnant women and people who are about to get pregnant, get your multivitamin, that is your prenatal vitamin, started 3 months before you plan to get pregnant, since 50% of pregnancies are planned. I think every woman, and we've talked about this before, ought to get vitamin D3, that is their prenatal multivitamins, from age 12 to age 50. There's no harm that we know of, as long as it's a recognized prenatal, and you will decrease autism risk by 40%. You probably will decrease MS and maybe some other autoimmune disease risks if this data is correct. This is the first study, so we never jump at one study, but there's plenty of other data to say you should get a prenatal multivitamin. So my own feeling is go with a prenatal from age 12 to 50 if you're a woman.
What's the difference between vitamin D and vitamin D3, if any?
Vitamin D is the inactive form. That is, it's not active, and it takes the sun or something like the sun plus your kidneys or liver to activate it. So you need both of those. So the easy way is just get vitamin D3 in the supplement, and you bypass those activation steps. Obviously, if you get just plain old vitamin D and you're not out in the sun, you don't activate it. So you need the active form of vitamin D3 to have the suppression of, to avoid the suppression of your immune system or to avoid the increase in autoimmunocytes.
U.S. doctors, Dr. Mike, are prescribing enough antibiotics to give them to 4 out of 5 Americans every year. 4 out of 5 Americans, and they say this could be, it's quite an alarming number that suggests that they're being overused. Oh, really? Yeah. That overuse may be one reason why some antibiotics are, losing their punch.
Right, and it's not that they're losing their punch against susceptible bacteria, but the bacteria become smart enough and modify themselves to avoid being susceptible to the antibiotic, killing them. And so we have what we call antibiotic resistance. Some part is, we've discussed a couple of times, that there are two major antibiotic resistances as well as TB resistance now that are causing us to worry. So antibiotic, and they vary by, the interesting thing is they vary by your age. So there were twice as many prescribed per population in Virginia as in Alaska. They are higher in the South and lowest in the West. They are also higher for people who are obese and smoking, and they are highest in kids under 10 and adults over 65. Those latter two may be appropriate because they get pneumonia more commonly, but in fact in the other groups, that is, no reason to give it more in Virginia than Alaska, no reason to give it more in the South than in the West. So The question is, should I really take this antibiotic? Can I avoid taking it? What is the indication for my taking it? And, of course, we also use antibiotics in animal feed, and that also brings up antibiotic resistance in America.
We're going to take a break and be back and talk about some of the other top medical stories of the week. Dr. Mike will be here to tell you why 30 is really 45, and could that be that we are somewhat so unhealthy that we're actually feeling 15 years older? Sleep less, weigh more? What about that? And L-carnitine could be a benefit to L-carnitine. Dr. Mike, with those coming up, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet related. Cleansing opens the door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's D-H-E-R-B-S.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business. I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Joe Galuski and Dr. Deb Lonser and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Today's show brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. And on the phone, 877-711-5211. If you miss a segment, RadioMD.com. Miss a guest, miss a topic, miss a real age tip of the week. You never miss it. RadioMD.com. There's a compound, Dr. Mike, in red meat and maybe energy drinks that could be linked to heart disease. So says research from your beloved Cleveland Clinic. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is very interesting because they're dueling, literally warring clinics. Mayo Clinic just had a study this week, a week later, which showed that short-term use, there was a study that was looking at prior studies and said short-term use of L-carnitine after a heart attack seems to decrease death rate by about 27%. The carnitine study that Stan Hazen did at the Cleveland Clinic showed that if you ate more than one portion of red meat or took carnitine supplements regularly, you produced a compound, TMAO, which was five times more likely on a milligram per milligram basis to cause heart disease than is cholesterol, or to be associated with heart disease. TMAO is a thing produced by the bacteria in your gut. And what you really are doing when you take red meat is you induce the bacteria in your gut to change how they metabolize stuff, so you produce this TMAO. Vegans, when fed red meat or carnitine supplements, did not produce this. So what the two studies together, I take it, show is that short-term use of L-carnitine boosts energy production. That helps your heart function. Long-term, it causes arterial disease, causes inflammation in your arteries. So the difference is, if you've had a heart attack, short-term L-carnitine may improve muscle function, your heart muscle function, and decrease your risk of dying in the short term after a heart attack. Long-term usage of it and long-term chronic usage increases heart disease risk. So L-carnitine is like cocaine in that way. Short-term use, you feel great. Long-term, kills you.
And the same for energy drinks? Energy drinks mentioned in the Cleveland Clinic research.
Well, many energy drinks say they have other substances in there, or have amino acids in there, or proteins in there. And many of them, when Stan Hazen and his team analyzed them, actually had carnitine in there. And it's even in some coffees that you buy in the coffee shop. So people have wondered why the coffee in the coffee shop tastes so much better, or seems to give them more energy than the coffee they brew at home. Well, it's this L-carnitine and lecithin, both of which cause liver inflammation and heart disease in the long term. So long term meaning 10 or 20 years, short term meaning 2 months to 3 months.
Now, while we're talking about drinks, this week I read a little piece that a study about sugary soda, sugary drinks that might blow a hole in Mayor Mike Bloomberg's theory about soda consumption. A new study has found that we not only love to drink soda, but will buy more when serving sizes are restricted. They found that restricting larger servings of sodas to moderate them may actually encourage people to buy more. So if you get rid of extra large cups, this study seems to say that people will just get more refills. What do you make of that?
Well, maybe we should force people to get 48 ounces or more.
Well,
so
it's like the forbidden fruit theory, right? If it's forbidden, it's like if you can't have it, you want more of it. Now, remember the vending machines years ago when you were a kid? Generally, when you get a soda from a machine, it was, what, 7 or 8 ounces? And then because of marketing, soda cans grew to 12, then to 16, and now today a typical can or bottle is even 20, even 24 ounces. And the nutritional information on these cans, Mike, clearly states a bottle or can contains 2 servings, but, you know, we don't treat it that way, do we?
And in fact, with a sugar drink, once you get over about 2 ounces of it in an hour, your blood sugar goes over the level that triggers arterial disease. So a small amount of sugar, fine, or even a small amount, or even a regular amount, if you've had some walnuts or something like that 30 minutes beforehand, so you've slowed your stomach emptying, that's fine. But a full regular soda, you're likely to do yourself damage, more damage than any psychological benefit, and the damage lasts a long time. So food is not let's make a deal. You change your proteins with that sugar. So we often measure hemoglobin A1C in diabetics. All that is a glucose or sugar at the A1C position. What that does is it stops that hemoglobin from releasing oxygen normally. When your blood sugar gets above a certain level, 110 in for coronaries or for blood vessels to your heart, you put that sugar on the grout inside your coronary arteries, and that leads to damage to your, or makes it much more likely you'll get damage to your arteries with a fatty streak. So food is not let's make a deal, or the other way of saying it is food is much more than calories. Calories do count for obesity, but food has nutrients in it and other things that can affect the way your genes and you function.
I think there's a feeling among a lot of people, too, that, you know, when it comes to these big drinks, they think might, you know, they think, hey, I bought it and I'm not going to waste it. I think that feeling is prevalent. I think a smaller serving would reduce consumption. I mean, the study quoted here, as I understand it, only gives a bargain appearance to the options and therefore the larger buy. I think if 7-Eleven stopped, or, you know, convenience stores stopped selling 64-ounce containers, I think people would live with the alternatives, don't you?
I absolutely think they would live with the alternatives. We did for many years, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's
right?
What I'm saying.
It's only a recent invention, meaning since the 1980s, that we've had such huge gulps of soda.
Yeah, right. Okay, 30 is really 45. That's interesting because now they're saying 60 is the new 40 or 70 is the new 50. But is that really true? Is 30 now is really the new 45?
Well, this was a study, and I'm going to have to find the country. I want to say the Netherlands, but I may be wrong on the country, so I'm going to look it up, where they looked at a whole bunch of people who were 30 years old. And they looked at their blood pressure. They looked at their obesity rates. They looked at their cigarette smoking. They looked at their cholesterols, etc. And it was in the Netherlands, and they looked at, I think it was 6,000 adults. And what they found from a characteristic of glucose, blood pressure, obesity, etc., was that they, and even including the cigarettes, that they were of the same disease risk prevalence as someone 15 years older, or what we call their real age of the 30-year-olds in the Netherlands was the equivalent of 45 or 15 years older than their calendar age. And this had gotten progressively older over a period of time. Now, when you say 60 is the new 40, on the other hand, 60-year-olds were getting healthier in the other study where we say 60 is the new 40 and had the health risks the 70-year-old or 60-year-old of 20 years ago had the health risks of the 40-year-old of 50 years ago. That's what that data is from.
Well, you can
modify it, and as you know, that's a very important component of how competitive the nations are as countries.
All right, guest time coming up right after the break. It's John Wendell. John is the husband of Susan Spencer Wendell. And her book is called Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy, published by HarperCollins. John Wendell in the guest segment coming up right after the break on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Roizen right here on Radio MD. Stay well and thanks for listening.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Don't forget, Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week is coming up before the end of the hour. Joining us now is John Wendell. Susan Spencer Wendell was a journalist for over 20 years. Susan left her job as a courts reporter when she was diagnosed with ALS 2 years ago. She now lives in Florida with her husband, John, and their three children. John is joining us today for the interview for his wife. Her book is called Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy, published by HarperCollins. Mr. Wendell, thanks for coming on today. Your wife, when was she diagnosed with ALS, and what is her current condition today?
She was diagnosed in June of 2011, and her condition today is physically she is pretty much entirely paralyzed. She can still move her thumb enough to type, but than that now to type on an iPhone, which is how she wrote the book. But now even that's beginning to fail. And her speech is very slurred, very difficult to understand her.
And she's how old, sir?
She is 46.
46 years old. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike?
Well, John, we greatly appreciate your coming on and sharing your and Susan's experience with us. So as I said to others who were listening on the radio show early, I try and read these books usually the day or two before and the week before. But this one I read on the airplane coming out to Las Vegas. We have the Cleveland Clinic has a center in Las Vegas for neurodegenerative disease, so it was totally appropriate to read it on the flight because that's what we're here to prevent. And as I said to you, at least the last four or five chapters, I was trying to read the book through tears, and probably the stewardess didn't know why I was going through so much Kleenex, if you will. And I kept asking for more. But anyway, it is really a very powerfully written book. It is of the genre of a bucket list almost, but with much, I found it much more family-oriented bucket list. And I suppose, so tell me what the difference is between, what you perceive the difference between this book and some of the others, such as the Last Lecture or Tuesdays with Maury.
Well, this one, I think because Susan was a reporter for so long, that her style is sort of to just tell the truth, get it right, and get it out there. And so she's very straightforward in the book, and it could. I mean, it's just from the title, it sounds like, oh, boy, this thing could be just, you know, turn sappy all of a sudden. But she doesn't treat it like that. It's not maudlin or sappy, I don't think. She just, like I said, tells it like it is, and life's messy and things don't always turn out the way we want them to, and I think that's what comes through in the book. These bucket list trips with each of us who was as closest to her. She was intent on creating these memories, and you should probably notice when you read the book, the memories didn't always turn out the way she intended, but that's okay. You know, that's life. It never goes as planned anyway. I think that's the big.
Well, the phrase that I love at the end of the book, which is also in one of the earlier chapters, probably four or five chapters, was, and I can't remember how she found it, but it was over in a pediatrician's office. I think she said, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened."
Right.
And I think that is how the book comes out. I especially loved all the preparation for and the trip to the bridal shop and trying to create a memory of how your daughter or her daughter was going to be married and how she wanted to see her and how she wanted her daughter to feel about that memory.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like any mother would want that experience of shopping for a bridal gown with her daughter. But then again, when the daughter's only 14 and in New York City for the first time, you know, of course, her agenda was a little different, and Susan was just very thinking about that. I mean, you know, Marina said, "Okay, go get pizza now." it wasn't the big emotional moment for our daughter anyway that Susan thought it would be, and she just had to say, "Okay, well, that's the way it happened, and let's move on, and just be happy with that." So, like you say, yeah, there was a lot of preparation going into it, and then didn't go as she had planned.
I should say some things about Susan first. She was a TV news reporter and won Emmys for her writing on some 48-hour stories, the Environmental Defense Fund Award, and Edward R. Murrow Award for overall excellence. And she really did, was a powerful writer and newscaster, obviously.
Never television news. However, she has appeared on several shows, like, you know, 48 hours on multiple occasions, just because of the things that she had covered here in Palm Beach County. She was involved in a lot of high-profile cases that ended up being covered on Dateline and 48 Hours and some others.
And this book goes into a little bit about the neurodegenerative and what happened. So she first found, or it almost, from someone reading the book and saying, The first phase was her denial, probably for several, maybe months or years, of that anything was going wrong with her left hand. But she noticed it was withering away comparative to everything else in her body as her first sign of ALS. Speak to us a little bit more about what you know of ALS.
Right. Well, like you said, it started so slowly and almost imperceptibly and continued that way for a long time. And like you said, it was her hand. You just said, you know, my left hand, when I type, it's not typing as fast as my right hand. It's like it can't keep up. And then she held her hands together and noticed that she said, well, is this right? I mean, hand's a little bit smaller. But then we said, well, you know, you're right-handed. Maybe your right hand's stronger, and that's why it's a little bigger. But then it just kept continuing that way. But it was really only isolated to her left hand for a long time. And that's what sort of had the doctors puzzled. But then once it did begin to spread to legs and throat and tongue, then, of course, it became more obvious what it was. But, yeah, at first there was some denial.
And then you visited a well-known or famous ALS clinic in Florida near where you live, and she felt like she was being treated, I think it would be saying, like just a number, and so decided to go out on her own about treatment of things. Let me just go and make a couple of comments for people who read the book or hear it. Is in diseases where we have no really good therapies, and ALS is one of those, and she laments several times, whatever it is, 40 years after Lou Gehrig's speech, or 50 years, whatever it is, we still aren't very much further along in understanding what causes this or in treating it, that type of thing, going out on your own and not using a specialist and working with other providers, is just fine. But for those things where we have some expertise and it's on the cutting edge, we really want people to stay within the system of expertise, because there is a lot of expertise learned from other patients. So in this case, she went out and got physical therapy and did a bunch of things on her own. I want to cover that trip to Kleinfeld's, and I think that's how you pronounce it, a little more, how involved you were in the planning of some of these memories, John, if we can, when we come back.
All right, Dr. Mike, thank you. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
on the jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it
serious. Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
If any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend
everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Susan Spencer Wendell, the author of Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy. It's published by HarperCollins. Susan's husband, John Wendell, is our guest here today on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Now back to Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
John, the website is SusanSpencerWendell.com, and of course the book is available at Amazon and at all of the, and I understand that the big box stores, which often have them cheaper, such as Walmart and Costco and Target. And I don't very often say this is one book I would recommend everyone get, but this is just such stimulating, poignant, and thought-provoking writing. It basically says, how do you want to die? What do you want to do when you know you have only 1 year left? And how do you make it, if you will, as meaningful for you and for your family as you can? How much were you involved in planning the trip to Kleinfields, which is the the wedding gown store in New York City, where your wife took your 14-year-old daughter?
Actually, I didn't have much. I wasn't involved much in that one because I was still working at the time, full-time. And she was here, and I was actually during the summer. And her sister, who's she's a college professor. And so she was off during the summer, and they planned the trip. They actually was Susan and her sister, my daughter, went on the trip. And so I was still here. I didn't plan that one, but they had a great time there. And it was
because I was going to say you didn't get much play in that chapter.
No, I got to stay home with the boys.
And on the other hand, it's clear from, for example, with Cyprus in the news so much, I learned an awful lot about Cyprus from this book that I didn't know from the monetary news and the news of its banks. You clearly played a role in that, and I love some of the places that you chose to go, both of you, and how you chose them.
Well, Cyprus, of course, and that was hunting down the family of her now deceased biological father. And so there's that whole element to the book. It kind of reads like a mystery story because of her trying to track down these various relatives. So that was interesting. You know, finally tracking his family down in Cyprus. And then, of course, you know, she wanted to go see the Northern Lights. And so dog sledding in the Yukon was her best friend. And then she and I we made a trip to Budapest to celebrate our 20th anniversary. And we had lived there when we first got married. So that was special to go back and see our old stomping grounds and see old friends.
Now, what is her feeling, if you will, about ALS? And can you, I don't know how she feels about it now and anything is she bitter for having it happen to her? Is she joyful that she's had this chance for the 1 year and did use it so meaningfully? And she literally typed the last, I think, paragraph out on an iPhone 1 using just her thumb. Amazing.
Actually, the majority of the book was written on her iPhone using just one thumb. But that's the thing. There's no sort of bitterness or self-pity involved there. I mean, she made up her mind very early on. Hey, you know, I'm going to face this. This is the hand I'm dealt. I'm going to play it. And that's how she's approached it. And it's made all the difference because when I wake up in the morning and I roll over and I see her smiling, then I figure, well, hey, I can smile too and get through this. And so that's, like I said, that's made all the difference was her attitude toward it. And there's no bitterness. Were we in different circumstances? If we didn't have the kids, then we might have gone more the route to, you know, find a cure or get involved in one of the studies or that kind of thing for treatments. But she really, just given the fact that it is ALS, just wanted to focus on spending her time with family.
Gotcha. And we should say that the neurodegenerative diseases, and the one obviously that Las Vegas leads us to, is in fact the chronic traumatic encephalopathy that boxers and mixed martial artists get. And the NFL, so we're involved in doing studies with them on prevention of it, as well as early treatment of that form of it. But it goes also with the Alzheimer's disease, which is the motivating factor behind this and its large prevalence, but all of the neurodegenerative diseases, including ALS, are under study. And the problem we've had as a society, as a group, if you will, is the brain is always has been the toughest to work in, the toughest to understand, and where we have seen least progress, except for with stroke, which is really a blood vessel disease. And so when you prevent heart disease, the same things go to prevent stroke, as opposed to the neurodegenerative diseases, which look like they have immune basis or inflammatory bases that are different from other things we in medicine and science have tried to get at. John, thank you very much for doing the interview. I can tell you this is a very powerful book. Until I Say Goodbye, it is going to be one of my favorites and stay on my bookshelf. Until I Say Goodbye, the website, Susan Spencer, SpencerWendel.com, or obviously pick it up at your local. It's a great book to give to anyone, but I think anyone who is thinking about what am I going to do after I've retired, what am I going to do, this is a great book to, in fact, think about and learn from. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
And now we're going to do the Real Age Tip of the Week. And And we don't have much time, so we're going to do it quickly. Why sitting too long can kill you. In fact, a recent study of more than 200,000 adults, 45 and over, for 3 years, looked at those who sat 11 or more hours per day and compared them to other people. If you sit 11 or more hours per day, you have almost a 50% increase in dying in the next 3 years compared to those who sit only 4 hours today. What can you do? Well, if you work at a desk, it's stand up. If you work at a desk, use a treadmill desk. If you work at a desk, don't go home and sit. That is, be as active as you can at all other times. Many of us, we get home, we get stressed, we just lay down or just watch TV or just veg out or eat out, and we don't eat healthy things. So the key is, take every time you're going to watch TV, make sure during the commercials.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet-related. Cleansing opens the door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's dherbs.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.